Hello and welcome to this breaking news edition of What Most People Think, and I am in the midst of a 5-day run of the Work in Progress shows. Where was I? Wednesday night I did a Work in Progress show in Grimsby. And it's funny, everyone I've said that to just kind of like tilts their heads, like thoughts and prayers. It's very nice. The audience there were very cool. And because I was doing the following night in Selby, right? The older men in listeners will appreciate this. I looked at the map and I got a travelodge in Scunthorpe. At what point does this actually become some sort of self-flagellation? But then, and the older male listeners won't like this, is even though I'm in Otley tonight, right, which is back up in Yorkshire, I came home last night because I didn't know if I could do 5 days on the road. Do you know what I mean? I love a travelodge, but there's a point where I just need to wear a silencer on my head so people don't hear the muffled tears. I wanted to do this this breaking news podcast because there's just a couple of things. I wanted to respond to a viral clip of Ed Miliband. He was on Sky News talking about energy and the cost of energy in this country, and he had a bit of a dispute with the presenter there. I also thought, you know, when I did the podcast earlier this week, Keir Starmer had not given any sort of reaction to the Supreme Court ruling, and then he did since the podcast went out. And there was quite a fiery PMQs with Kemi Badenoch, where I think it, you know, basically, while I watched that PMQs, I was just swearing and punching the wall. So I thought, why not make some notes and include it in a breaking news podcast? And then just before I was about to record this, I saw somebody on Twitter. It sent me a link for a story on BBC News, which is about, so you've heard about these things called men's sheds, right? It's an organisation where get men together to get men talking to men, men making things, mainly about men. Well, guess what? One of the men's sheds groups, some of the wives said, why can't we come along to the men's sheds? Well, maybe the fucking name for a start, but... And so I'm going to take you through that story. And yeah, I think it might just be a bit of, why can't we have our own stuff? What men's sheds? Anyway, look, I'll save all that for later in the show. We just got one new patron to welcome this week. Patreon, if you want the show early, ad-free, and with bonus content, and to get a monthly Patreon-only episode, go to the website. It's the best way to do it. That's how I keep most of the money. If you do it through your phone, I get less of the money, but I can't tell you that. And so go and sign up there, and you'll get all those benefits. And we've just got Tim W. this week. So Tim W., if you're not telling me your surname, it's because you work in a woke institution. So I've seen that the London Marathon is still allowing biologically male people to run in the women's marathon. So I'm going to guess you were for the London Marathon, Tim. Been a tricky week at old Marathon Towers. Okay, as ever on What Most People Think, we do a thank you and a fuck you. So the thank you is just to people, just for listening to this. I just thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Listen, I know people do iTunes ratings, but could anybody jump on Spotify and give us some 5 stars? My rating there went down significantly recently. Occasionally I get people saying that they're going to review bomb me, but I always presume that they never go through with it. Now, look, it might just be that I've had a succession of low or mediocre reviews, but all this stuff matters. So if you could get on Spotify and just give some 5 stars, that would be greatly appreciated. I know not everyone can afford the patrons, so just we'll go on Spotify, give it 5 stars. You know, if you think it's a sort of 3.5-star podcast, just round it up to 5. That's not how rounding up works, Jeff. I know, just 5 stars, please. The fuck you is to, you know, how can I explain this? You know, when you go, I try to be quite organized when I order things. So I quite often tell people all the information they're going to want from me. So I say, can I have a tea, medium with milk, please? No sugar. Right? And they go, okay, so that's a tea. Yes. Do you want medium or large? Medium. Milk with that? Yeah, milk. Sugar? No sugar. What? When I'm speaking in that first bit, which bits of that are they taking in? It's like, do you ever do this when you go to a petrol thing and you go, so you go to the front of a petrol station kiosk queue, you put down a Kit Kat, you just go, Kit Kat, no petrol. And they go, okay, you got any petrol with that? No. Where was your fucking brain when I said those words? Is this what getting to 50 feels like? I just become, you know that show they used to do, Grumpy Old Men? I think they should do a reboot of that. I find this stuff so frustrating. Sorry, if we're just doing random annoyances as well. Another one that bugs me is when people ask you your phone number and you start to tell them and they tell you to hang on. Almost aggressively. So what's your phone number? Yeah, my phone number is 07. Okay, hang on. Look, if you weren't ready to take my phone number, maybe don't fucking ask me. Okay, well, I'm clearly in a fantastic mood, so no better time to talk about in the politics section, Ed Miliband and Keir Starmer. Two favourite guys. So there is a lot of focus at the moment on the idea of growth, how we get it, and whether or not this country is kind of a bit of an outlier in terms of enacting carbon-friendly projects, whether we're doing more than other countries and whether we're alone in that. And you know, is this the right time to be doing that when everyone's skinned? Should we try and get growth first? And you know, I don't know. So Ed Miliband is the energy secretary, and he is... I mean, a lot of people on the right intensely dislike Ed Miliband. I mean, looking back to his kind of, you know, when he was the leader of the opposition, I always thought he was a slightly strange guy. I remember when I don't know if anybody remembers, he did a profile interview in one of the broadsheets. And I don't know if the photographer did this just to stitch him up, but there was some weird photo where he stood in front of two radiators next to each other. I don't know. Like they were trying to get old Eddie Two Rads there. I don't know, but there was something odd about him, and he described himself as more intellectually self-confident than David Cameron. So I've always found him a weird guy. I always felt during that time he was in charge that he would never, as a hunch, I never thought that he would win an election for Labour because he just didn't seem prime ministerial. But, you know, it was a time, you know, 2013 to 15, before we really knew what echo chambers were. People, there was a lot of people I was around at that time in the comedy industry that genuinely thought he was going to win that election. I remember, I mean, this now seems absolutely mental to recount, but at the time, because Russell Brand was agnostic in the general election, he wasn't going to vote. He wasn't going to vote Russell back then when he was left wing back then, and and there were still some stories to come out. But he, but then he invited Ed Miliband round to his house. It was really weird. I don't know if you remember, there was a weird interview where Ed sat down with him and Russell Brand was like swigging water from this glass bottle like a weird pirate. And Ed Miliband just looked sort of like the kind of nerdy kid that got invited to try a cigarette with one of the cool lads. So, you know, I was never sure about him. So on that day in 2015, when this is the great forgotten election, by the way, when the Tories won a surprise majority, I was like one of the least surprised people because people said, you know, and I've covered this before, but people said, oh, it became sort of suave and cool to say, well, Ed didn't win because of the photo of the bacon sandwich. I go, no. OK, it's like Rishi Sunak and the umbrella. It's the same thing. Every once in a while, a politician will offer up a symbol, a metaphor, and all it really does, it wouldn't make sense unless it reminded you of something that you already thought about them. And seeing Ed Miliband eating that bacon sandwich, that wasn't why Britain didn't vote for Ed Miliband. It just got sort of clarified our views that, Jesus Christ, you know, what else can't he do properly? What most people think. Well, it turns out one of the other things that he might not be able to do properly is be energy secretary. There's a certain sort of zeal about him, and he's a... By all accounts, quite powerful in the court of Starmer. It's got to be the most boring court in the world. You know, when you think of like the court of Henry VIII, you know, just always imagine them pulling off a drumstick of chicken and going, "Bring forth my fool." You know, fun courts. You know, Boris, they broke the rules, but hey, they had some good times along the way. The court of Starmer, that's got to be a very serious court, isn't it? Just, I noticed somebody having fun earlier. I noticed that some of the snacks had gluten in. He's quite close to Starmer. And he's, you know, the government seem wary of pissing him off. You know, he has quite a lot of power. They don't want him to resign. So despite pressure in some quarters, even within the Labour Party, to maybe chill out a bit on some of the carbon neutral net zero projects, not that much has changed, right? So he's on Sky News the other day and he's speaking to the presenter, and the presenter's basically saying, you know, it's a problem for growth, isn't it? Because we have there's a tax on energy companies' profits at 78%, which is massive. You know, energy costs is just higher for energy companies to do business in this country. And Ed Miliband just kept on saying, well, no, it is a sort of weird word, no. I can do a rough caricature of Ed, but he was going, I mean, one of the funny things about Ed Miliband Is, do you remember when I used to say, like, oh, Ed is great when you get him in a room? Oh, if you're just in a room with Ed, he is brilliant. I mean, that is like literally, you always know a cricketer is out of form when they say, oh, he's looking great in the nets. Oh, you should see the cover drives in the nets. Yeah. What about on the pitch, maybe? So Ed Miliband, he kept on talking about the price of wholesale gas. The presenter kept saying, yeah, I get that, mate. I'm talking about the taxes that you levy and whether or not that leads to higher prices in this country because those companies want to make a profit. And I just sort of thought about this guy and just how much influence he has in our sort of economic story at the moment. And I thought, why is he like this? Why has he got so much zeal for net zero? And then I thought about his origin story, right? So he stabbed his brother in the back. It was supposed to be David Miliband. Now, I don't share the view that David Miliband, we just had Blair. People didn't want, you know, another sort of slick Labour leader. But he was the heir apparent, right? David Miliband, and then Ed appeared right at the last minute, basically straight up, stabbed him in the back in full public view. Then the Tories were quite unpopular for a lot of 2010 to 2015. But then he lost an election, right? So that is not a great legacy. And then you're sort of thinking, that's what he wants, right? That's what he wants, a legacy. What will he sacrifice to get that? I mean, you're almost thinking like his backstory is a bit like one of the characters from Despicable Me. I mean, Ed just turns up. You know. I'm going to stop doing the impression, but yeah, he does feel like one of those lads that was slighted once upon a time and then turns up with a machine that's going to kind of like shrink the world or something to the size of a pea. Or, you know, in this case, go a machine that's going to aggressively take Britain to net zero, but at the cost of about 3% of GDP. I just needed to get that off my chest. You know, I haven't said anything about Ed Miliband on this show. And look, I think we should all be trying to reduce our energy consumption. We should all be looking at carbon. But it does feel like the dialogue on this is slightly changing, and that the Ed Miliband's ideological zeal for this could be something that costs us all money in the long run. Are you a Green Party member? Do you listen to this podcast? Am I just another one of these people? What's that film? Don't Look Up. Am I just burying my head in the sand here? I don't know. Email whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. I think above all else, I just think Ed Miliband sort of really gets on my nerves. Anyway, we're going to talk as well, as I promised, about Starmer at PMQ. So after the Supreme Court ruling, given that Starmer has said things in the past like it is wrong to say that only women can have cervix, right? And that he has he said that, you know, 99.9% of women don't have penises. You know, he must have realised that this was going to be a difficult PMQs for him this week. So it's Kemi's moment. You know, a bit of Martine McCutcheon for Kemi. This is my moment. This is my single USP. So she stands up, right? And, if she can't nail this, I mean, it's just like difficult for Starmer as if he'd been exposed as being a Spurs fan all along, right? Which I still think is possible, given how much stuff he's rode back on. And so Kemi comes at him quite hard. And then Starmer does a thing that irritates me almost more than anything that he does. That he justifies his word. I would advise the Honourable Lady to lower the tone. I find this so patronising. He does this when he's in a corner and he knows he's in a sticky patch. Go, I'm going to be a really good person. And I think you should be as amazing as me. If you think, there's no argument to it. But he's done it before. He's done this before, like when Labour were in a sticky patch over Israel and Gaza, and the SNP has forced a vote, and then he leant on Lindsay Hoyle. Because, you know, we need to lower the tone. Is it because the tone is that you're up the shitter? Is that the tone that you're worried about? And I just kind of wonder, you know, like because of what he said before on his definition of a woman, I even wonder if it had been better for him if his critics, you know, even if his critics might have had more respect, if he'd have just said, you know, well, you know, the Supreme Court have made their judgment. I still personally feel that it is possible for women to have a penis, but I would obviously abide the law and enact the law because I respect due process, right? That wouldn't you, right? Even if you're like full on gender critical, wouldn't you even have more respect than the kind of the shape shifting that happened in full public view? They're just with Starmer. There's almost nothing that he hasn't rode back on now. You know, and he'll always say that it's to do with pragmatism and changing circumstances. But I mean, would he take the knee now if the whole George Floyd thing happened right now? Probably not, right?
He'd take the knee for Trump, though, wouldn't he? I've got a letter. I've got another letter. So Badenoch was having some success attacking him. And then she asked him a direct question about whether or not, you know, she said that Baroness Falconer had done a great job and would the Prime Minister consider keeping her on, right? So he's obviously not considering that. So he genuinely does not answer the question at all. And then he goes off on this mad rant about other stuff. Like, he just wants to say his usual thing, but he can't even say the $22 billion thing anymore because, you know, we saw that borrowing costs have gone up and we see that, you know, Labour have now objectively added, you know, they created their own little black hole, you know, and a couple of little fucking wormholes, you know, one or two new solar systems of debt of their own. And so he then goes off, and then from being asked a question about whether Baroness Falconer should stay on, he ends up talking about NHS waiting lists coming down. And you're just, I've said it before, and I know that it's hypocritical because I wasn't as scrutinous of this when the Tories were in power, but I'll admit that I was wrong there. If you could admit now that the fucking Speaker should step in and go, yeah, you made no attempt to answer the question. You want to have another go at that, right? Just, do you want to have another go? I think that's reasonable now, because I think it's totally disrespectful to the institution of PMQs to just not answer the call. Not even have a dip at it. Not even a swing and a miss. You know, not even like a prod or a forward defensive. He's just, to use a cricket metaphor, he's just shouldering arms. And Kemi Badenoch said that, you know, she said that she went quite ripe with her language. She said that he doesn't have the balls, right? And she nailed that line. That's one of those lines where you can want to say it, but you can fluff the delivery. I remember, you know, just reminds me of when Ed Miliband was doing the leadership debates with Jeremy Paxman in 2015. And Jeremy Paxman asked him if he was tough enough to be PM. And he said, hell yeah, I'm toffee nuts. Tough enough. You know, like when your brain just interferes because maybe you're not ready. Like your brain deep down knows you haven't got it. You want it, but you haven't got it. But she said that he didn't have the balls. And then he stood up. And it was kind of like ironic because he goes, well, that must have sounded better when she practiced it earlier in the mirror. You go, but that line is a line that you've said before. So that is a pre-scripted line. And you, Jesus Christ, you run your finger along a piece of paper the whole fucking time like you're reading Braille. So I don't know. This man, I know that I've gone very hard on the government and two Labour figures in particular, but I don't know why. There's just something this week about Starmer and Miliband that just irritated the fucking bejesus out of me. Okay, so I want to talk about this story now about men's sheds that I mentioned in the intro. So just, you know, occasionally I talk about men's wellness, you know, men's wellness and well-being stuff. It all stemmed from that appearance I had on Politics Live back in 2013. I don't know if anybody's seen that. It's still on YouTube, but where I was sort of trying to say that maybe men, you know, we're not always high-fiving ourselves in a hall of mirror just for being men, that men have, you know, worse health outcomes in some ways. And I said that, you know, men were more likely to die of COVID during the pandemic, and then it was put to me that women did more housework. You know, I always felt that, you know, I'd rather that dying's worse than doing laundry. But hey, look, let's not relitigate, to use a suave word. But yeah, I sort of found myself in that world, and since then I've done a charity thing. I'm not selling myself here. I'm just telling you where I am in the debate, you know. And one of the things I did was I went to speak to the men's sheds, a sort of AGM in Worcester, and it was incredible to see. Like, you know, they were blood men of a certain age, largely, you know. When I was looking out there, I'd say the demographic was Viking River Cruise, right? But as you know, that's often the age where men get the most lonely, so it makes sense. And Men's Sheds is a brilliant organisation where men can get together. Look, I'm not speaking for Men's Sheds here, by the way, because I'm sure that what I'm about to discuss might be a tricky one for them. But men get together, they talk, they make things. It's real basic stuff that's really good for men's mental health. So today, earlier, and I'm still processing this, somebody sends me a story on the BBC. And the headline was, "We put the pressure on to join men in sheds." Now, there's a lady here, and please don't pile in on this lady, because she might well be I'm sure she is a very nice lady, but she's been put into the public spotlight. And it's one of those stories where I don't think people would have understood what the backlash to this would be, right? So I'm just going to read the story to you and we'll react as we go. So it started out as a gathering to reduce loneliness and combat social isolation among elderly men. Now there are more than 1,000 Men in Sheds projects running across the country where members get together, talk and learn new skills. So far, so manly, so good, right? Not saying women can't do this. Just saying, we can see how this could be particularly good for men. But while many are aimed exclusively at men, one group in Loughborough... One group in Loughborough has taken the decision to admit women and members' wives. Jesus. So member, I'm not going to say her name, right? But she said, I kept asking my husband all the while, why can't we join? Okay. Well, it's because it's got men at the beginning. Men sheds. Men alone. There's some, I'll do 10 reasons right now why you can't join. This isn't like not being able to vote, okay? It's a group of dudes that want to build some fucking bird tables. The 74-year-old added, eventually they let us in. I mean, the word eventually is a really important word there. Eventually they let us in. Just one morning, eventually, again, we have the word eventually, it became all the time. So they let us in for just one morning. This is what I'm hearing. And then eventually it became all the time. And you know why? Because they're men of that generation. They're just anything for a quiet life. I'm totally speculating here. God, I might be wrong, but I'm not, am I? And now it's 50% women. Oh, thank God. And we absolutely love it. Yeah, I bet you do. The group, which has been renamed Men and Women in Sheds. I mean, come on. There's got to be loads of feminist women that listen to this. That you must know where I'm coming from, okay? You've had a fight to protect women's spaces. This is just men and sheds. I mean, historically, the shed is almost a comically... male attributed space. It's a space where often women were like, please go to your shed because I just need to believe that you're doing something, right? The group, it now has 80 paid up members. It allows them to learn new skills such as repairing and refurbishing furniture and other household items which would otherwise be sent to landfill. Brilliant, amazing job that they're doing. They're literally actually doing something useful at the same time of feeling happier and feeling better about themselves. We'll get it on a bit. Another member said, believes joining the group has helped improve her mental health. And she said she was never interested in what was seen as traditional female skills. Not everybody likes sewing and baking.
There's nothing stopping you having a little woman's group that does all of this stuff.
Do you know why I'm annoyed at this, right? Partly because where I live, there was a men's walking group, right? And everyone said, what a lovely thing that is. We all know that the pressures that men are facing with loneliness... Within 6 months, there was a women's walking group as well. Now, there's no reason women shouldn't be able to walk, but why? Anyway, I think this might be the rantiest breaking news I've ever done. So the woman continues, I think the men were a little bit concerned at the beginning. Yeah, because maybe they came here to get away from their wives and were worried we were going to take over. But we haven't done that. We work well together. I don't know if it's they're worried you're going to take over. I think maybe came here to get away from their wives might have been the key to that sentence. Doesn't mean that they hate their wives. It's just everybody needs a safe space. When the women were allowed into the workshop, members decided to keep a quiet room with a model railway display in it just for men. Well, that's good to hear. Okay, that is good to hear. There's a photo of these two fellas standing. Oh, my God. So the fellas are standing in their quiet room and it's quite clearly like a storeroom. It's really small. They look happy enough, but I don't know. Is it lads? I want to say to them, is it as good as it was, lads? One of the members admitted that there was initially some resistance to becoming a mixed group. He said, there was apprehension, but in all honesty, it's turned out well. If you have to say in honesty, look, I can't speculate whether or not you're being completely transparent here, mate. I understand why you might have to toe the line, but Jesus Christ. We, the men, escape now and then to the quiet room and have a chat and weigh things up. I just want to say, I don't want this to be too negative and like, don't troll these women and, you know, like, because I'm sure maybe I'm reading it wrong, but there is that feeling of, God, this isn't like a private members club, is it? This isn't like the fucking Bilderberg group. This is just some men, just normal men sitting down, just fixing stuff and chatting and like, there was nothing stopping women having a women's sheds group. So
I don't know. I can't speak for the organisation. They're their own thing. I would imagine that people there would be slightly anxious that the USP of this, of it being for men, will get slightly diluted. So all I'm saying is, if there are any ladies out there listening, it's no bad thing that you want to spend time with your fella and you want to build and fix things. But just like, it's really important just for blokes to have a little bit of space, okay? Please, please don't let this also have to go for a Supreme Court ruling. Okay, I've ranted quite a lot on this, so I am aware of that. So if there's anything you want to come back to me on, whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. Maybe I've been too harsh on Ed Miliband. Maybe I've been a bit too uncharitable with Starmer. And maybe, you know, I should have been a bit nicer about these ladies that wanted to basically ruin these men's lives. So if you think I've gone too far, and look, maybe the moral this week is if you are, as a group of men, just really enjoying something, just don't put the word men's in front of it. There you go. Just say, then they won't be interested. All right, see you next week.